and thank God for his for his word. Lord, we thank you for the words of your servant Paul that we've just heard read. We thank you for the time we've been able to spend over the last month or so studying this letter. And as we reach its conclusion, we ask that we may find similar inspiration as its first hearers will have done, to live lives worthy of our Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Amen. This is the final session of our journey through the first letter to the Thessalonians, the earliest Christian writing that is available to us. And so we're just going to recap very quickly where we've been over the last few months. Last few weeks.
It doesn't seem like months either, does it? The first session, we read that the Thessalonians' faith was so infectious, so exciting, that everyone around them had heard about it. That it was so amazing that people were talking one to another about this amazing faith that these Christians in Thessalonica had. So much so that people were going to Paul and his friends and saying, "Have you heard about these guys in Thessalonica?" And Paul would say, "Well, yes, it was I who introduced them to Jesus." So infectious was their faith that people couldn't stop talking about it. We then heard that they'd suffered persecutions and all the things that were happening to them in the city as a result of this infectious faith that they'd encountered. But then we went on to read that Paul was seeking to encourage them, to lift them up and build them up in their faith, just as they were an encouragement to him when he heard about how they were doing. That's really important, this encouragement, this mutual building up that Paul was talking about. And then last week we thought about what it then means, sorry, 2 weeks ago we thought about what it means then to live a life for Jesus. To live the life as well as talking the talk. What does it mean to live a life for Jesus? And here as Paul comes now towards the end of the letter, he starts talking about the day of the Lord. This future day when good Jews knew from the Old Testament the day of the Lord was when their God would act finally and decisively to bring about his reign of justice and peace and righteousness and mercy and glory and so on and so on and so on. They knew that a day was coming because the prophets told them, prophet after prophet, spoke of the day of the Lord. One day, this time was going to come. And for Paul, he sees its fulfillment, its happening, coming in the person of Jesus. See, Paul uses the word Lord over and over again to refer to Jesus. When Paul thinks of the Lord, the God of Israel, the one and true God, he sees that God through the person of Jesus of Nazareth. So the day of the Lord is coming as a result of what Jesus has done. In fact, the day of the Lord that Paul is referring to is Jesus' return. He's looking ahead to the day when the project that began at Christmas finds its fulfillment when Jesus returns. And he says, we don't really need to write to you about this because you already know it. This is what we told you when we first came to see you and tell you about Jesus. That Jesus died, he was raised, he ascended to be with the Father, and he will return. And the day of the Lord will come. Paul picks up themes that Jesus himself used when talking about the future. He talked about the day coming like a thief in the night. Maybe not quite like that. But he talks about the day coming like a thief, not in the sense of it being a bad thing, because that would seem like a very odd thing to say. But in the sense of you don't know when it's going to come. Jesus said, if the owner of the house knew when the thief was coming, he would have made sure he didn't get in. You don't know when you're going to be burgled. You don't know when the day of the Lord is going to come. So be vigilant. Keep watch. Be ready. Live constantly in the expectation of Jesus' return. Now, this is not to say, as some people say when they misunderstand Paul and his writings and the early church, that they expected Jesus to come back within their generation and then got disappointed and had to figure out how to cope afterwards. But that Paul is saying you should constantly be vigilant, constantly be aware. And so for us too, he says, be vigilant, be aware, be ready. Live as if it's going to happen today. Self-help books will tell you to live each day as if it's your last. Well, Paul was there 2,000 years ago. Live each day as if it's your last. It'll come like a thief in the night. And so we need to be ready. Not like the people in the world who lie in bed saying peace and safety, putting all their hope in things of the world. Peace and safety was an imperial catchphrase, if you like. It was what the emperor would say. He has delivered peace and safety, so all is well. And people would remind each other that in the empire there is peace and safety. So Paul is saying, let's not be like people in the world who put their hope in things other than God and his ultimate activity. Let's not put our hope in the actions of men and women, but let's put our hope in the actions of the one true and only God, and the fact that he has acted in Jesus and will ultimately act when Jesus returns. It's always been like that, incidentally. People have always put their hope in the wrong things. People have always put their trust in things of the world. In Matthew chapter 24, Jesus says, it was like this in the days of Noah. People were getting on with what they considered to be their normal life, marrying and being given in marriage, putting their hope in the things of the world and not believing that God would act. Except for Noah. And so it is for us, as it was for Paul and for his hearers. It's very easy to put your hope and your trust in things of the world, in political structures, in social structures. But Paul says to the church in Thessalonica, and I finally said it right on the last session, and he says to us, don't live like that, like the people who are in darkness. Live in the light. Live in the light of Jesus' return. Start living now as if it'll happen today, and we'll be living like that for eternity. He says, excuse me. He says that we are children of the light and children of the day, and that's how we should live. To use a technical theological term, this is a realized eschatology. You can impress people by saying that. Well, actually, most people would look at you blankly, but it's a realized eschatology. The things of the end times have started happening now. We talk about the kingdom of God being both now and not yet. Now, in the sense that Jesus has come and announced, the kingdom of heaven has come near, repent and believe the good news. The kingdom of God is now in that Jesus has died and been raised and we can encounter God in a fresh way. The kingdom of God is now in that Pentecost has happened. We have the power of the Spirit to make a difference in God's world in his name. The kingdom of God is now. But the kingdom of God is also not yet in that we are not in the fullness of the kingdom. Every tear has not been wiped away from our eyes. There is still sickness and infirmity in this world. There is still injustice in this world. The kingdom of God has come and is coming. It is both now and not yet. In the world, it's nighttime, but for us, it's the day. We are ahead of the game. The day has begun in us because of Jesus. The day of the Lord. This day that Paul is writing about. Now, the furthest I've ever gone on a plane is to southern Italy. But I know people who have, in fact, gone on the planes much further. Say, for example, all the way to the States or to Australia or Singapore. When I flew to Italy, it didn't really affect me very much because the time zones are so close. But when you fly halfway around the world, your body thinks it's one time and everyone around you thinks it's another time. Your body may say, it's 9 o'clock in the morning, and everyone around you is getting ready for bed. That's what Paul is talking about, in a sense. For us, it's the daytime, and we are ready to live as children of the day and of the light. But for all the people around us, it's the nighttime. It's darkness. We are called to live as people of the day. Paul says, Christ died so that we might live. That's what this is all about. The only reason we can live as people of the day is because of the death and resurrection of Jesus of Nazareth. We are able to live as people of the day. And Paul, very helpfully, I think, very helpfully for me as a preacher, gives us a quick overview of how we do that in the last few verses of this chapter and of this letter. Firstly, it's about having good teaching and leadership in the church. In verses 12 and 13, acknowledge those who work hard among you, who care for you, who admonish you. Hold them in the highest regard in love because of their work and live in peace with each other. It's my responsibility. It's Matthew's responsibility. It's the reader's responsibilities. It's the leadership team's responsibilities. The warden's responsibilities to enable us all to live as children of the light and children of the day. Paul says in his letter to Timothy, one of his letters to Timothy, that those who are called to be teachers have a particular responsibility. It's a hard task to be a leader in the church because we have responsibility for the whole church and for our life before God. So pray for us. Pray for us, please, because we need your prayers as we lead and pastor you. The second way that Paul says that we live as children of the light is through our mutual life together. We said a lot about this as we were looking at the book of Acts, but it's key and it's important. In verses 14 and 15, we urge you, warn those who are idle and disruptive, encourage the disheartened, help the weak, be patient, make sure that nobody pays back wrong for wrong. Always strive to do what is good for each other and for everyone else. So it's not just the leaders who have a responsibility. We all have a responsibility for each other. We all have a responsibility to build each other up in the faith, to encourage one another, to give each other a nudge if we're falling behind and slacking. We all have a responsibility one to another. Our mutual life as a community enables us to live as children of the light and children of the day. The radical generosity we looked at when we looked at the book of Acts enables us to live as children of the light and children of the day. Our support in prayer one for another enables us to live as children of the light and children of the day. We have a responsibility one for another, just as the leaders have a responsibility for the whole church. And thirdly, Paul tells us that we each have an individual responsibility for ourselves. And he gives a list of things to do, in personal devotions and practices to do as we live. Rejoice always, pray continually, give thanks. This is God's will for you. Give thanks is God's will for you. Don't put out the Spirit's fire. Don't treat prophecies with contempt. Hold on to what is good and reject what is harmful. Good, basic ways of living, taking responsibility for ourselves to enable us to live as children of the light and children of the day. Leaders have a responsibility for the whole church. We all have responsibility one for another. And we each have responsibility for ourselves. And most importantly, in verse 19, don't put out the Spirit's fire. We only can do this with the help of the Spirit. We only can do this with God's own help. None of us can live a life that is pleasing to God without God. The collect for the 19th Sunday after Trinity says, O God, for as much as without you we are not able to please you, mercifully grant, and so on. For without you we are not able to please you. We can only do this with the Spirit's help. We are called to live as children of the light and children of the day. We have responsibilities as leaders, as the community, and as individuals. Christ died, and so let us live in this way. Christ died, and so let us each live as children of the light and children of the day. Amen. Would you please stand? And in a moment of quiet, we're going to close our eyes for a moment and just stand before the Lord in recognition that we can only do this with His help. As we stand, so we pray. And we say, come, Holy Spirit. Come and increase the measure of your presence in this room. Come and enable and equip each one of us to live as children of the light and children of the day. And in the quietness, you may want to, in your mind, hold before God one of those areas of responsibility where you know you need His particular help. Maybe it's your responsibility to your brother and sister to support and uphold them. Maybe it's your personal responsibility as you stand before God. Maybe for us who are leaders, it's our responsibility for the whole church. Thank you, Lord, that you promise to give good gifts to your children. meet us in these areas of need and enable us to live as children of the light and children of the day. In Jesus' name, amen.